Is President Trump really going to be able to make America great again? Or is he destined to frustration and defeat? Is it really possible for our nation to be great again? Or have we passed the point of no return? These and other crucial questions about the destiny of America are going to be discussed today as we interview one of God's prophetic voices to this nation, Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. Stay tuned.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. My colleague Tim Moore and I have a very special guest in the studio with us today. He is Jonathan Cahn, who is the author of the best-selling book, The Harbinger, and a new wonderful book titled, The Book of Mysteries. Welcome to our program, Jonathan. We're really glad to have you.
Great to be back, Dave.
Jonathan is the spiritual leader of Beth Israel Worship Center in Wayne, New Jersey. In one of the issues of our magazine in 2013, we featured Jonathan on the cover as one of the prophetic voices God has anointed to warn our nation of impending judgment.
And Jonathan, that is exactly what we want to do today. We want to speak to our viewers prophetically about the future of our nation, about the spiritual condition and what lies in the future. But before we get there, I want to first of all take a look at the legacy that Obama left us, the legacy that President Trump inherited. And I want to get into that by playing a brief video clip of you speaking at the presidential breakfast this year.
The inaugural prayer breakfast.
Yes, the inaugural prayer breakfast.
On the day of the inauguration in Washington, D.C.
Yes. Okay, well, let's take a look at that video.
President Obama, with all respect that is due, as you approach the last hour of the presidency, you were shocked by the outcome of the election, and now it appears that your legacy will largely be undone. You came to the presidency claiming as a Christian you could not support the ending of marriage as it had been known. And then you did everything in your power to end that very thing. And then you sought to force believers to take part in that very thing you said a believer could not take part in. If one believes that God is real, how can one do such things? You came to the presidency speaking of tolerance, and yet you showed no tolerance for the lives of the unborn. You zealously fought to defend the carrying out of their murder and expanded around the world. And you went farther. You sought to force God's people to fund their killing. President Obama, on the day when marriage as we know it, ordained by God, was with your help struck down in this land, you celebrated by lighting up the White House in the colors of the rainbow. Did you not know that the rainbow does not belong to man or to any movement? The rainbow belongs to God. It is the sacred sign of God's covenant and the sacred colors of his throne. If you believe that God is real, how can you use the sign of God to celebrate the striking down of the word of God? If you overturn the edicts of God, should you be surprised that your own edicts will be overturned? And if you strike down the precepts of God, will you not your own precepts be struck down? You launch accusations against the leader of Israel in a way you have never done to any leader of any enemy nation. You took part in isolating, condemning Israel before the world and advancing a resolution proclaiming Israel had no right to Jerusalem. If one has ever read the Bible, how could one foster such a thing? Did you miss what the Word of God says concerning Jerusalem? There is only one who has authority over Jerusalem. And it is not the United Nations, it is not the European Union, it is not you. There is only one, and his name is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Holy One of Israel. Long before there was a United Nations or United States or any of the nations that cast this vote, the Lord issued his own resolution concerning Jerusalem. And no law, no executive order, no UN vote will ever overturn it. And concerning that UN resolution, the Almighty has issued his own response, he vetoes it. 4,000 years ago, God made a covenant with Abraham that states, whatever you do to Israel shall be done to you. President Obama, you sought to intervene in an election held within the borders of a sovereign nation, Israel. Therefore, should you now be surprised if God intervenes in the election of your own nation? You sought through Israel's election to nullify the stands and legacy of its leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. So should you now be surprised if God intervenes now to nullify your own legacy? Despite how you treated the name of God, the word of God and the ways of God, the hand of God, this is the inconvenient truth. God is real, his word is true, his ways are eternal, his hand is mighty, his kingdom is without end, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Mr. President, I'm here to report to you good news. The God of Israel is alive and well, and his arm is strong to the rising up and casting down of kings and kingdoms and governments and administrations. If you don't think he can, to paraphrase your own words, yes, he can.
Well, Jonathan, thank you for a very powerful summary of the Obama legacy. But how would you summarize America's condition today?
Critical, dangerous, and yet with this little surprise right now. You know, we've watched in the last 8 years an acceleration of America's fall. It didn't start with Obama, but it's accelerated. One of the things in the Bible that before judgment comes, there's often an act of desecration, like in Babylon when they took the cups of the temple and they used it for the gods of the nations. They put the handwriting on the wall comes at the same time. So the act of judgment and desecration. In America, not so long ago, since I was last here, we crossed a line, you know, and this is right here.
Here
that,
it is.
That this was an act of desecration to strike down the order of God on marriage. And then the president does this. This is the rainbow. This is another desecration. This is the sign of God. It doesn't belong to man. It belongs to God. And it made the White House a sign of desecration. So that was a major thing. And one other thing about that, because I know we're going to move from where we are, but another thing is that, you know, Dave, and there is a day on the Hebrew calendar called the Ninth of Tammuz. On that day, it's a day of judgment. It's when the Babylonians, they breached the protective walls of Jerusalem. That they first did that, and that open the nation to judgment. Well, that's been a mourning day for 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years. And that is a day where the hedge is removed. Well, that day fell on June 26, 2015, the day that the Supreme Court struck down the hedge of marriage.
Amazing.
Was the ninth of Tammuz, the day of the removing the hedge. So this has been a dangerous thing. We have watched good call be called evil, evil called good.
Well, you mentioned the hedge there. It reminds me of Romans chapter 1, where it says that when a nation sets its jaw against God and begins to rebel and shake its fist at God, God steps back and lowers the hedge of protection and allows evil to multiply.
That's right. It says
a sexual revolution occurs.
That's right.
Then it says if they refuse, he steps back a second time, lowers the hedge, and perversion, sexual perversion.
That is right.
Homosexuality. And then the third time he steps back, he delivers the nation to a depraved mind.
I think that's
where we are.
That is right. It is crazy what we are watching. We are seeing things we can never have imagined before. And I'm not going to go into detail, but even children's programming, Disney and other things, pushing this and destroying gender. And so these are signs of apostasy. And also the last days of Israel, the template of the harbinger is in the last days of Israel, they turned away from God and they promoted immorality and they worshiped Baal. They offered up their children. Well, we have done all those things. We have driven God out of our public squares. We have called good evil and evil good. We have begun to persecute the believers, Christians, and we have promoted immorality at the same time. And I'll tell you something else. This is something that I don't know if everybody knows this, but a sign, you know, what were they worshiping when judgment came? They were worshiping the god Baal or Baal. And could the sign of Baal actually have appeared in America? Well, it did. In this last September, in New York City, they erected the Arch of Baal. This is the arch that literally led the worshippers of Baal to the Temple of Baal. I was there, Dave. I witnessed it firsthand. And they had this big unveiling. They played Middle Eastern music. They had the deputy mayor of New York proclaiming, we're doing this as an act of defiance, just like the harbingers. You know, the harbingers have not stopped. And so here we have this sign of a nation that has known God, but has turned away from God. So we have been seeing this rapidly happening. So this is the template of the harbinger. But we have now had this kind of surprise, but even this surprise of what happened this election is also part of the template, which we can get into.
Oh, boy. I tell you, it's an amazing thing what has happened in this country. We've had the most ungodly presidency in the history of our nation for 8 years, and yet he left office with a 60% approval rating. His designated heir got 3 million more votes than Trump, and the millennials— supported a socialist.
Right.
And when he didn't get the nomination, they supported Hillary overwhelmingly. The heart of the nation
has
shifted.
We no longer have a Christian consensus in this nation.
Right.
It's not just the leader. That's exactly right. The leader is representing the people. It's the people as well. And if there's not revival, we are heading rapidly.
Yes.
One of the templates in the Harbinger of the last days of Israel, people don't realize, God gave them reprieves. He gave them moments of grace to come back to him. And I believe what we are watching is, you know, I know we're going to get to it, I believe is a reprieve, is a window of time. But the overall progression has not stopped. And if we don't, we're not going to be saved by politics. Politics can open a window at best. But without revival, without the changing, and you said it, the millennials, if that doesn't change, then our future is not going to change.
Oh, yeah.
And so the harbingers have not stopped. That template has not stopped. But we have a window right now, and I know we're going to talk about it. What do we do with it?
I've been doing a lot of research recently into the writings of Francis Schaeffer.
Mm-hmm.
And in his book, The Christian Manifesto,
yes.
He makes an interesting observation. It's written in 1981, right after the election of
Ronald Reagan.
And he said, I believe God has given us a window of opportunity. And he said, if we don't take full advantage of it, this nation has really no hope left. And he pointed out, even prophetically, he said, you got to understand that just because he won the election, things are not over.
That's right.
He said, the humanists are entrenched. They are entrenched.
Right.
They will
That's
fight,
right.
and there is no toleration on their part. They only won't surrender. And
right.
he said, I would say that if we don't take full advantage of this, what's going to happen is that this nation will continue to disintegrate through decisions by the courts.
And that's right.
Isn't that interesting?
That's exactly what happened.
What a prophetic
voice.
Exactly what happened. I mean, we cannot put our trust in man or in politics, but God will give windows. And now we're at an even more extreme point than that. I mean, I remember that. Dave, I just came to the Lord when that happened.
Ah.
You know, and I remember, if you remember, you know, America was in big trouble. You know, we had hostages in Iran.
Yeah.
You had America falling apart. You had inflation. You had gas lines, Carter, all that. And believers gathered in Washington. I was there. It was called Washington for Jesus. Say on if my people who are called by my name. And we prayed, if my people, could God release this and do this? Well, what happened is that there then came this election that surprised everybody, actually. I mean, at that time, it was still amazing. And the thing is that Reagan changed the place where he had the inauguration always was for over a century, moved it to the Western Terrace, which is facing this, which is the same place where we prayed, and we were all put our hands toward that terrace saying, God, put who you want in power. Well, he came in power, and on that day, the hostages were released. That was the other prayer. And on he had a Bible. When everything changed, that way, he put a Bible in his hand in it, and it was on the scripture, if my people are called by my name. God still, his grace is bigger than our sins, but we cannot downplay the state of where we are right now. You're absolutely right.
That's right. Okay, let's come back and talk about the future.
Yes.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview of Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Kahn.
Jonathan, I'd like to start off this segment by going back to a question I posed at the very beginning, and that is, do you think President Trump can make America great again?
Oh, this is a great question. Let me tell you something that people don't realize. I wrote The Harbinger a few years ago, long before this. In The Harbinger, I was led to put in Donald Trump. He's in The Harbinger.
Really?
People don't realize that as well. I won't say where, except I'll say it's in the chapter called The Tower. He's in there. And the thing is, and so he's part of this mystery. People don't realize it. But here's the thing, Dave. Remember with The Harbinger, the people of Israel, they had been chastised. They'd been warned. And what did they respond? They said, we will come back stronger. We'll be greater than before. Well, listen, it's fine to be greater than before, but not without God. So the first thing is, if Donald Trump, if the thing about this is, we're going to be great by our own power because we're America, then we're going to be doing exactly what's in the template of the Harbinger. And again, if you look at the Harbinger, you'll be a little shocked what is there about with Donald Trump. But the thing is that the only way America can be great again is if America returns to the God who made America great in the first place.
Amen.
If we don't, we are repeating that. So the big thing is, here we have this window. And the question is, what are we going to do with it as believers? Are we going to just say, okay, great, now we have a little relief? If we don't have revival in this land, it's finished.
Yes.
Revival. And so we need to be praying for revival, working for revival. The only way we'll be great is by returning.
It seems like a lot of people are waiting for Trump or other leaders to lead us in a direction, but really you're saying it is our culture and it is Christians who have to impact our society and drive the culture under God's leadership.
Absolutely. We have to have revival. I mean, this could never have happened. I mean, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Well, it could never have gotten this dark in America or this rotten in America if the church was fully doing what it should have done.
Yeah, now, you've taken the position that one of the reasons you think God gave us this window of opportunity is because of the way in which Obama treated Israel and the Jewish people.
Yes.
And he got back what he,
Yes, the Abrahamic covenant, it's an absolute thing, and that is whatever you do to Israel gets done to you. Just a year before the election, some people remember this, some people don't. Obama tried to defeat. He intervened in a sovereign election. He intervened. He interrupted it. Tried to defeat Netanyahu. And if you remember, everybody thought Netanyahu was finished. Yeah. Everybody did. Everybody was celebrating. CNN was celebrating. Yeah. And then they went dead. They went blacked out because they didn't want to cover it. Finally, Netanyahu said, "Well, if nobody's going to do it, I'm going to announce. I just won." It was like this election.
Wow.
And so what happened is, if you intervene in the election of Israel, God will intervene in your election give you a surprise and end your legacy. So absolutely.
Let me suggest to you another thing that I think is responsible for this window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I certainly agree with what you just said. But I think there's another reason that God gave us this window of opportunity, and that's because Franklin Graham said, "We're going to go to every capital in the United States and get on our knees and pray for spiritual revival in this nation." And the speech that he gave over and over was one in which he said, "We cannot be saved by Democrats.
That's
we
right.
cannot be saved by Republicans.
That's right.
Our only hope is Jesus Christ. Either turn back to him or this nation's gone."
There's a powerful speech and prayer gathering in Frankfort, Kentucky, in our capital. I can guarantee you that.
Absolutely. And Franklin Graham, and also all over the nation, there were believers who took this very seriously. I mean, we started, when the Harbinger came out, we started getting things all over saying, "We're starting a prayer movement. We got to pray for America." But they were all over on the Capitol. On the Capitol lawn, there's been a tent set up for over a year. I preach there. They've been praying all the time. Mm. It's been all over. And so even you say, "Well, has it been the majority?" No, it's a remnant. But even God is so gracious that he will take the prayers of his people.
Yes.
Even if it's a partial revival, he'll give a partial answer or he'll give that. So yes, I agree with you.
You know, I'm very concerned about President Trump in several regards. First of all, his whole background concerns me. But one thing that concerns me is that he is probably the most egotistical man that I have ever encountered in my entire life. And I know from reading the Word of God that two things that God really hates is idolatry and pride.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who is proud is going to be humbled by the Lord. And from the moment he announced, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and look what I've done. I'm rich, I'm powerful, I'm famous, I've got big businesses." A focus on self.
Yes, and
this is very dangerous.
It is dangerous, and that is the thing here. On one hand, you have two things. It's almost like we have a choice.
Are
we going to go with self and pride, not just with him, but saying, you know, "We're going to do it," or are we going to go with repentance? And you've got this kind of conflict over Donald Trump. You also, at the same time, I agree with you, same time, God has put believers around
him. A lot
him
of believers around him.
People who have prayed with him. Now, he prayed to receive the Lord. We don't know what's in his heart. So we got this, we're in the balance right now, Dave. We're in the balance. You know what I say? You know what? You want to understand Donald Trump? I mean, I'll give you something. Look at Jehu. Jehu was a man who was used to end Jezebel, end that whole thing, give a window, give a reprieve. Yet Jehu was we didn't know, you know, even the commentaries say the guy, he was violent, he was full of himself, he boasted, they said even the word in Hebrew is sugar, the way he drove, he said he was crazy, the race was crazy, the race to the throne was crazy, and that was Trump. So you want to understand that, but God is also sovereign, that we know, he uses even people who don't know him to do his will. So the question is, again, we're in the balance, Dave. This is exactly it. Not only with Trump, with our whole nation.
Yes. Well, I just fear that many Americans have the same attitude that the people of Judah had when Jeremiah went and said, "If you don't repent, God is going to destroy this nation." I mean, he told them that in no uncertain terms, and their response always was, the temple.
That's right.
God will never touch that temple.
That's right.
He will never allow anybody. That is his Shekinah glory there. He will never allow. We are safe.
I
think there are many American Christians who think God sits on the throne wrapped in an American flag, and he would never, ever allow anyone to touch this country.
That is right. And if we go with, "Hey, it's America and America
first. America, brother.
America first. America has been used by God awesomely. We got to pray for America with our heart. But then it becomes an idol. Yes. And then you put God in God and say, no, I don't need the flag. I don't need that. Absolutely. This temple. I don't need that. That's exactly right.
I think the culture is so important as we impact the whole world. And that's why I say, even with the picture we have up, some people have blamed Obama. I have a friend who said, well, I'm so horrified at what Obama did. But I said, do you realize that the culture had already shifted, for instance, on the whole same-sex issue? Because look at our Fortune 500 companies. They had already adopted policies to embrace this abomination long before it became the law of the land. Yeah, abomination. And yet most Christians were unaware. And we need to be aware. We need to be interacting.
Yes, we know. I mean, interceding. You know, the president said, Obama said, oh, I'm wrestling with this issue. Well, everybody knew that he already was on one side of that issue. But the thing is, he didn't announce it until 2012 when the poll shifted. That is when it became the majority. And so you're exactly right. That's exactly the case.
And Christians can impact that culture.
Revival or judgment.
Well, you know, many years ago when Billy Graham was still active, he often would say, if God doesn't judge San Francisco soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, actually, yeah, and the original thing was actually Ruth in the 1970s said to him, if God doesn't judge America, he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Billy Graham, about a year ago or so, something came from his ministry from him saying that, listen, that was said in the 1970s.
I know.
Look at where we are now.
Yes.
Look where we are now, so absolutely.
Well, it reminds me of this statement here in Nahum. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, but he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished.
That's right. And how here we are, and people sometimes say, well, hey, Jonathan, when you're comparing ancient Israel and America, how can you do it? They offered up their children to Baal. I said, yeah, they offered up thousands. We have offered up millions. 60 million, and their blood is on our hands. How can we go forward without judgment?
The false God of choice.
This is what I keep saying to people. How can you expect America to become great again when we're murdering 4,000 babies a day, when we are the world's greatest supplier of pornography, when everywhere I go in the world, if I turn on the TV set, I know I'm going to see the most despicable American movies. We are the moral polluter of planet Earth with our movies and television programs that are blasphemous and violent and evil. Yes. And we are the world's number one user of illegal drugs. It just goes on and on.
You know, this is you know, at the very beginning of America, you know, John Winthrop came over here, and he's the one who penned that famous thing, we got City on a Hill, from him.
That's right.
He said, if we follow God, the God of Israel, he said, we'll be a new Israel. We will become a city on a hill. All nations are looking on us. But they ignore the next part. He gave a warning at the very beginning. And he said, but if we turn away from our God, and if we turn to our prophets, the God of prophets, and our lusts, our which is exactly what we've done, then the curses that came upon Israel will come upon us. And the same, because we've been so blessed, well, too much is given, much is required. The harbinger and all these things is saying that that's exactly what's happening, and it's exactly the case. You cannot escape the laws of history.
Well, I have discovered that as I've spoken out on these issues, I've gotten a lot of hate mail from Christians. Who say, oh, you know, yes, I can, on and on and on. I can begin to get a sense of what it must have been like with Jeremiah.
That's right.
And
that's
how people, they even tried to kill him. You getting this kind of reaction?
I've gotten quite a lot. And in fact, when I started being called to Washington, because the Lord opened the door in Washington to speak to leaders, I started becoming, they put me in the bullseye, all these kind of left-wing, hate anything with conservative or Christians. And from that moment on, whatever I do, if I say anything, I say,
you're hello. Of course.
If you say you don't agree with something. But it's evil is good and good is evil. And we got to be like Jeremiah. We got to be like Elijah. You know, there's a song that, you know, it's sung in the church, these are the days of Elijah. Well, the days of Elijah were days of apostasy. And if these are the days of Elijah, we have to start becoming the Elijahs of the day.
Well, one of my heroes of the faith is Don Wildman.
Wonderful
AFA. Man of God.
Yes.
And he has often said over and over, the biggest problem with America is 300,000 silent pulpits where people will not speak about the issues of this nation for fear they're going to step on somebody's toes.
We tolerate everything but truth in our society today.
And we cannot be timid. If we are timid, we're giving up. If we are not, there was a time that we are, if the dark is getting darker, it's time for the light to become brighter. I was on Capitol Hill, and one of a famous candidate for president showed us a room and where the pray, we're the remnant on Capitol Hill, pray for America. And you know what they pray for? So that we pray that the pastors will preach the word of God.
We do that in Kentucky on a regular basis.
We have a prayer caucus, and we are constantly looking for the Lord's direction for our state and for the nation as a whole.
God looks for the remnant.
Yes, folks, you may not know, but Tim is a member of the Kentucky State Legislature and one of the most outstanding conservative spokesmen there. We're very proud to have him associated with our ministry. And keep speaking out, brother, because I know you get a lot of flack.
Yes, sir, I do get that. But speaking truth, there's no limit on doing that. That's what we're called to do.
This is our greatest hour. This is a biblical hour, and this is the time to rise. We always talked about it. Now we've got it.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our interview of Messianic Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. You've heard of the wrath of Kahn. Today we've received the blessing of Kahn. And so, Jonathan, we painted a pretty dire picture of America and our state today, but leave us with a blessing on a positive note of what we can look forward to and hope for as American Christians.
Yeah, it is dire, but that's the reality. But the bigger reality is God. And whenever there's God, there's always hope. God is never finished, ever. And His gospel will go on forever. So we have to be lights to this generation. The thing we should ask, we got to pray for revival, but don't just pray for revival. Start living in revival. When you start doing that, the revival begins. Let's go full blast. These are the days that God has put us in our mother's womb to shine.
So revival begins with me. Tell us, Jonathan, how would we get in touch with your ministry for a follow-up or information?
Okay. Yeah, the ministry is called Hope of the World. So just go online, hopeoftheworld.org. We send free gifts, prophetic updates. You'll be blessed. It's hopeoftheworld.org. And if you're Facebook, it's Facebook Jonathan Kahn.
And folks, I want to strongly encourage you to get a copy of his latest book, The Book of Mysteries. It is just absolutely profound. It'll bless your socks off, as we say in Texas, and you won't be able to put it down. Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I hope it's been a blessing to you, and I hope, the Lord willing, you'll be back with us next week. Until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries, saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near. If you would like to get a copy of Jonathan Kahn's phenomenal new book called The Book of Mysteries, we can supply you one for a donation of $20 or more, including the cost of shipping. You know, folks, I just cannot recommend this book too highly to you. It's informative, it's fascinating, it's spiritually enriching from start to finish. It contains a one-page devotional for every day of the year, but I found it so spiritually beneficial that I read the whole book in 1 month by reading 10 pages each morning. I have never underlined a book so much in all my life as this one. And I took a total of 140 notes, more notes than I've ever taken from any other book that I have ever read. I want you to be blessed by this book. So we are including the cost of shipping with it. And to get a copy, just call the number you see on the screen between Monday and Friday and between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time. Or go to our website at the address you see on the screen and place your order there. This book is just full of insights that are drawn from the meaning of Hebrew words and the customs of first century Hebrew society. You will just be amazed at how it will open up a whole new horizon of understanding of the Scriptures. When I finished the book, I wrote these words on the title page. I wrote, "This book has been a spiritual feast, and I want to share that feast with you." So, once again, if you would like to order a copy, we can supply it to you for a gift of $20 or more, including the cost of shipping. Just give us a call at the number you see on the screen between Monday and Friday and between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time, or place your order through our website at the address on the screen.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.